Good morning. This is Trace Blue, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling, and we'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for June 13th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. It's summertime, Chip.
Summertime, and that means families take trips together.
That's right. I have been across our great land this week, and I am back. Nobody noticed that we recorded two shows, and we put them out on two separate Tuesdays. But now we're here. It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen you. You're looking well.
Oh yeah, so I got a black eye, Steve. I've got a black eye.
Those street fights.
My wife's been taking me down. It's just been for fun.
Just playing.
I play basketball every Wednesday night, and some guy came down on my eye, and I didn't know about it. My wife works overnight. And she came home and said, "Hey, what happened to you?" And that's how I found out.
It was a brutal fruit attack.
But Steve had much more fun.
I had so much fun. We drove down to Orlando, Florida this week. We stopped off in Indianapolis and hung out with our patrons, JD and Elizabeth, and had some good times and some book recommendations. I've got a list of books that we need to read, by the way.
Excellent.
Thank you, JD and Elizabeth, for all of that. We stopped by the Who North America. This is the distribution center for all of the Doctor Who stuff in North America. Owner Keith Bradbury was really kind and opened his doors for us an hour early so that I could live in the happiest place on earth.
So let me ask you about this. This is in Indianapolis.
Just outside of Indianapolis.
And is it a museum?
It is a store and a museum and the distribution point for all of the Doctor Who stuff. He sends it all across North America.
So if you order something with Doctor Who on it, chances are it will have gone through his warehouse.
This is phenomenal. We had a fun time. We took a ton of pictures. We left quite a bit of money with Keith.
Who's the bigger Who fan?
Me or Keith?
Yes.
Oh, probably Keith. He's got a business that is involved with Doctor Who. I am just a huge fan who just loves all this stuff.
Is Steven moving down to work with him?
I could see operating a clubhouse like he's got there. He's got a Doctor Who pinball machine. Oh, wait. So do I.
Yes, you do, Steve.
It was so much fun. We thank him for all of his time that he gave us and all of the fun Doctor Who stuff that we paid for.
What was the most exciting thing that you saw this week?
Then we got into the science. I went to Cape Canaveral. I went to the Kennedy Space Center. I saw all of the rockets and all of the Space Shuttle Atlantis is hanging from the ceiling in this museum. It was a really moving, really emotional time to see what we as humans have done with space travel.
So it touched you deeply.
It truly did. The space shuttle is special for our generation. There was that moment when the space shuttle... See, I can't even get through the sentence. There was that moment when the space shuttle exploded and all of us kids were watching. They wheeled TVs into the room because this teacher was going into space. This was the triumph of humans over nature, over space, and just this tragedy that happened. And that has been a piece of my existence for the last 30 years. And to see that space shuttle, the enormity, the grand nature of humans making these big things, I started thinking about, you know, we talked about the movie Pacific Rim with these giant robots and
sure,
and the ridiculous amount of metal that it would take to make these giant things. Looking at the Kennedy Space Center, the amount of metal that we have put together to make these enormous, mind-boggling spaceships, we can do some interesting science.
So we've talked about something that touched you deeply. You've got two sons. What touched them most in this trip down south?
It was so much fun. We had so much great family time. My 15-year-old, who is learning to drive, got to drive 6 or 7 hours down to Florida. He had a great time learning how much energy it really takes to drive a car.
It takes a lot of energy.
Uh-huh. Kids, you might not understand how much energy it takes for dad to drive the car or mom to drive the car.
Sure.
But as you learn, you find out and you get a new appreciation for all that. We did get to spend a day at Disney World. We won a day at Disney World. It cost me about $3,000. And we had a great time. We got to peek over the fence and look at Star Wars land that's being built, the 14 acres of Star Wars that's being built on Disney property.
If you planned your next visit.
Uh-huh. If they can do the magic that they do with all of the other properties with Star Wars, that is going to be a magical spot down there.
How wonderful.
No doubt wonderful. About that. So it was a great week. I had a fun time. I left you behind.
That's okay. Everything was fine. The important part of getting away is spending and reconnecting with your family.
Yes.
And it sounds like you did that. And we encourage that for all of our listeners.
Absolutely. Take the time. It is worth the money to take the time to be somewhere else. Get out of the house. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Speaking of getting out of the house, you got a chance to go to the movies and see Wonder Woman.
I did, and my wife forced me to delay a day because she wanted to go see it too.
Oh, that's great. So you went together, you and your wife, and
yeah, and my daughter.
Wow. So tell me, what is your review of Wonder Woman?
Let me go ahead and give my oldest daughter's review, because this is really important. She is 15 years old, and dad and mom forced her to go to this. I'm using quotes when I say forced her. And she said she liked about 20 minutes of it.
Aww.
So there you go. That's what a 15-year-old would say.
So it's on the Star Wars level for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But my wife and I really enjoyed this film. And I think it's the best of its type of genre. One of the best. They moved some things around. So where Captain America, which was a good movie to compare this to, took place in World War II. This was moved to World War I.
Hmm.
There are some leaps of faith that take place in all of these type of superhero films, but I'm going to give you one. I'm not spoiling it for you, but I want to make sure that I noticed it immediately, and it was never addressed. It was when the German ship found its way to Paradise Island. All right, so all of these wooden boats get let down, and all the Germans are going to head to Paradise Island to ultimately they're going to attack they're going to get Steve Trevor is really what's going to happen.
Okay.
All right, so the Amazons defeat them,
as they are apt to do.
Okay, and then what happens? We just move to the next scene. There's a ship out there with other people on it.
Lots of other Germans.
Never gets addressed.
And it's just out there.
But regardless of that little nitpicky thing, the movie flowed well. The colors were a little bit brighter. Obviously, it took place in World War I, so there's war as part of it, but it is Star Wars war.
Okay.
It's Marvel type of war, which means that it's certainly not Saving Private Ryan. Highly recommended if you have interest in seeing this.
Degree of humor in this one you were mentioning was, this was a funnier movie than Batman versus Superman?
Well, I think everything is a funnier movie than Batman and Superman. There was Lucy Davis who played it, and last time I remember running into her was during the Office UK.
Oh.
She was the secretary.
Okay.
And so that was probably 10 years ago or so. And she's been in other parts and stuff. And she's been in other... But this is where I caught her. And this, I guess, is her feature film debut. Could be.
Wow. You also got a chance to see Sinatra, All or Nothing at All. This is an HBO miniseries.
This is a miniseries. I didn't realize it was a miniseries.
They packaged it up into a full 3-hour movie.
Exactly.
And then you broke it up and watched it in chunks. So you miniseries the repackaged not miniseries.
Exactly. I don't have a lot of time to watch things. And so, I've gotten really comfortable going to the on-demand section of HBO. Because there are a lot of documentaries and things I have not watched. And this is the one that caught my eye. And this is about Frank Sinatra. This is about his 1971 retirement concert. Or he still did shows afterwards, but this was maybe full touring or something of that nature. And director was trying to say the set list that Sinatra put together described his life in some way. So we would go from the beginning of his life in New Jersey, where he described his neighborhood, which, like I said, I think there's probably got to be books on this. Mm-hmm. There's four ethnic groups there. There are the Irish, there are the Italian, there's the Jewish, and there's the Black neighborhoods. And while they did have some overruns, the Black neighborhood, he said, pretty much stayed to itself. But he wanted to be a singer. And so he joined groups to become a singer and then eventually left because he wanted to be a solo singer. We talk about his finding his wife, getting married, having his children. And they're all being interviewed through this. And the war years, the after war years, all the way up to 71, he was in From Here to Eternity. He is Catholic. It was a very big deal for him to get a divorce from his wife. He asked for it because he fell in love with Ava Gardner. Mm-hmm. Ava Gardner eventually dumped him, which made him sad. But From Here to Eternity was his Oscar-winning performance. Hmm. How about that? For a guy as a song and dance man. But anyway, I highly recommend this. And very good. It's very good.
Excellent. Opening this week, we have a special, we are going to go to another Riff Tracks live event. You can join us in your local theater. It's through Fathom Events. This is the Summer Shorts Beach Party. All of our friends from Riff Tracks are going to be there along with special guests. We're going to see Trace Beaulieu and Frank Conniff and Mary Jo Peel and Bridget Nelson are going to join the Riff Tracks guys just like they did for the special that we went to in Minneapolis last year.
And they invited us to go down to Nashville this year to see this live, but obviously we had some conflicts.
Yeah.
But what we can say about this is if you are local and you want to be part of this, feel free to inbox us. Yeah. We'll show you where we're going. But if you're not local, just find your local theater. They have this. The shorts are short films.
Yes.
Usually, many of them are educational films.
Yep.
Or odd films.
Very unusual films that they find. And they spend films a lot of grass. Time. Is corn grass?
Anyway, they're silly and fun.
They're so much fun. The shorts are a great way to get into all of this fun comedy. If you haven't seen anything from Riff Tracks, go give them 99 cents.
So that's Thursday night, and then we have our regular Friday openings.
Yes, opening this Friday, we've got Cars 3.
Another Pixar film.
Yeah.
Pixar, while at one time just couldn't do anything wrong, they seem to have become very long in the tooth on their sequels. And this is the third version of Cars. If you have a young person, I don't think that they're going to suffer from watching this.
Right.
But I don't know if it's must-see for adults.
It's amazing to me how little I've seen advertising of this.
Sure.
It's not the spectacular that Cars was the first time. It's not the spectacular that a lot of the Pixar films were.
And I don't know if we're just spoiled because things look great. And right. I'm sure the story is going to be fine.
I'm sure they're going to make money, too.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, if you've got a 5, 6, 7 year old,
yeah,
this will be very high on the things that they will enjoy. But for a person who, you know, saw the first Cars, I don't know if I even saw second Cars.
I did.
Okay,
it was all right. I liked it. I didn't buy a copy of it. If that shows you anything about my degree of adoration of it, but sure. It was fine. It was a lovely film. We have another one coming out this this week. It's called Rough Night.
Yes, this is sort of like Office Christmas Party from back in December.
Uh-huh.
This is very similar to The Hangover and The Bachelorette
Party. This is the girls' night out kind of a thing that goes horribly wrong. Reminds me of The Hangover a lot.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and we're going to address something that keeps showing up in Hollywood films. Is the amount of cocaine that just gets thrown around like it's an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we all had this background doing cocaine and now we're in society. No, we didn't.
No, we did not.
But somehow this becomes the beginning of the comedy. So be it.
Hilarious. I don't understand this. I don't understand how L.A., Hollywood sees cocaine as a part of our lifestyle and how it's so funny to them.
Well, anyway, it puts people in an interesting position. The idea is they eventually invite this gentleman back to dance, and he dies, and there's where the comedy starts.
Well, I'm not sure about that's where the comedy starts, but they certainly have some ridiculous situation after that. This is kind of a Weekend at Bernie's moment after that, where they're taking this body and moving it around.
So let's go through these last three films, because they all look like something I have a lot of interest in seeing.
Yeah. First one was called Score, a film music documentary. This is a documentary about that music of the movies, and we all know how important music is to the movies.
In the trailer, one of the composers says, "I can make you feel anything," mm-hmm. with the music being played through the movie. Mm-hmm. And we've got interviews with John Williams, which we know from E.T. and Star Wars.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
Jurassic Park. And anyway, the song that we see in the trailer is E.T. We also have Hans Zimmer, and Hans Zimmer seems to be like the hottest guy right now. And he did the Batman Dark Knight, and he also did the Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm. And then finally we have Thomas Newman. And Thomas Newman, I know from the Lemony Snicket movie from a long time ago. He did American Beauty. When you hear his music, you know, there's this ding, ding, ding. There's all these things kind of bouncing around. There's sort of a beautiful sound to it. But anyway, these are all interviews of these guys, and they're talking about how they put music to movies.
And it changes everything about the movie. You get the emotion through the music so often. You've seen probably on YouTube where people have taken the score out of a scene, and the scene is different of the music.
It tends to be dead.
Yeah,
it's very flat.
Yeah, yeah. Good, great idea to see this documentary. That we'll put that on our list of things to do this week. There's one called All Eyes on Me. This is a untold story of Tupac.
Tupac Shakur. Hmm. Now, for many of our people, they are very familiar with Tupac Shakur. Mm-hmm. For some others who may not be familiar, you may be familiar with Kurt Cobain. So the rise of Tupac Shakur, it may be in the rap community or in R&B type of area, and the rise of Nirvana and Kurt Cobain in grunge and rock and stuff like that, they kind of mirrored each other, and they both died very early. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if we've received a Kurt Cobain movie. I do know that this is the Tupac Shakur story and about his rise. This may be a very big movie, a truly groundbreaking one. And if I think about, we had the one about NWA last year, Straight Outta Compton.
That was the one that I was thinking of while you were talking. That was a really good movie.
And it is. And eventually, my hope is we're going to have one for Public Enemy, which I'll be very interested in seeing also.
East Coast.
But this right here is about Tupac Shakur. Mm-hmm. This should be a very good film. I look forward to seeing this.
There's a science fiction pick of the week this week. It's Kill Switch. This is real science. No, maybe not real science.
Yeah, pseudo-ish.
Pseudoscience.
All right, so what we've got, or what I'm taking from the trailer, is we got sort of a Philadelphia type of experiment going on.
I love the Philadelphia experiment movie. That was a great movie.
Well, the idea is that we've using Tesla's... all right, this is pseudo-history mm-hmm. slash... military conspiracy-ish. The idea was that they had created a time-traveling warp, and that in Philadelphia, that they had moved some sailors to Norfolk, Virginia. They arrived there, and then they came back, and they were all embedded into the ship, and there was a cover-up and all this other stuff. So that's not part of this movie, but it seems like that there is some kind of, using some kind of energy, mm-hmm. there's two realities going on. Maybe... you know, the multiverse going on, and one is going to survive. Mm. And so
there can be only one.
Exactly.
Sorry, that's Highlander.
So anyway, it seems like they're kind of playing with the pseudoscience conspiracy, multiverse type fun stuff. This looks very science fiction-y and very good.
If the Sci-Fi Channel showed sci-fi anymore, this would be the kind of film that I would want to watch. I will find this somewhere, but I wish that the Sci-Fi Channel wasn't sci-fi and had science fiction in it.
No, I'm not sure any of these films is big enough to take over Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman may win a third week in a row.
Wow.
But it seems like these are fun films. These are mm-hmm. this is all that filler stuff that if you miss it right now, you're going to watch it in the fall.
Right. brings us to our book. At our book of the week, speaking of the fall, our book of the week is called Black Fall. That was a terrible transition. That's all right.
So this is the third part of a series. Who was this written by?
Yes, this is Andrew Main. And those of you who don't know Andrew Main, he is an illusionist, and he had a TV show on A&E called Don't Trust Andrew Main. He is a fun, interesting person, and now he's writing novels.
No. This is the third part of a series. Fill me in on the first two parts, and then let's talk a little bit about the third.
All right. We have talked about the first book. It came out in 2014. It is called Angel Killer. This is the story of Jessica Blackwood. Jessica Blackwood is an illusionist, because Andrew Main is an illusionist, and he wrote this book. He knows the illusionist lifestyle. She is an illusionist turned FBI agent.
All right.
So the storyline of all three books, this is now a trilogy, Angel Killer, Name of the Devil, and Black Fall, she can see a different aspect of this investigation from her other FBI agent compatriots, and she can see where the illusion is happening. Every one of these stories involves a bad guy, an evil genius who is using a magic and explaining to the normal people, this is magic. And she goes, that's not magic. Let me explain to you about how an illusionist is not magic.
All right, so is this a great summer read series?
Oh, yes. This is a perfect summer read.
Head to the pool and throw this in.
Oh, yeah. If you are sitting at the pool with your Kindle or with a paperback, Jessica Blackwood is a great fun ride. It is an action adventure. You get sucked into the story very quickly. Andrew Main has written so well this idea of you are in this story. You are looking over the shoulder of this investigator, and you are involved with this. I'm not a big fan of mysteries in general. My wife reads a lot of mysteries. This is one that I could get into because of that little twist of she's an illusionist and she's looking at it differently. This is the Sherlock Holmes if Sherlock Holmes was an illusionist.
Kind of a fast read?
Oh, yeah. I read through each one of these books in about a week. The first one from 2014, the second one a year later in 2015, and Black Fall just came out in March of this year, and yeah, I got through it in about a week. We didn't get to talk about it till today, but that's all right. You should be reading this summer. You should find a book that gets you, that you understand, that makes your life a little bit better.
Oh, it sounds like fun.
We have so many books. We have so many books to talk about.
We do. We've got a whole bunch of them coming up, too.
Yeah. We will talk about a lot of titles. We have a lot of authors coming up in the next couple of weeks. We are going to have some fun with reading. Brings us to our appetite, our app of the week. You have found a very interesting story about a guy who hates telemarketers, so he created a robot to prevent telemarketers from doing their job. This is called the Jolly Roger Telephone Company.
Now, he's based in Naperville, which is right outside Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he basically created a robot because robots are calling your home telephone now, waiting for you to pick up.
Uh-huh.
And then the robot has a lot of fun with the people calling.
Right. Those of you who have listened to some of those morning DJs that have the soundboards of Arnold Schwarzenegger and have the caller talking to this robot of Arnold Schwarzenegger, this is kind of like that, but it's a much more automated system.
Exactly. And the idea is to take your home telephone number and kind of take it back. There's no real cost to robo-dialing anymore for companies. So one of the strategies is to use a service like Google Voice where they have to press 1 if that's it. And
a human has to actually do something in order to get into your voice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, many of us don't have those types of services. I do, for mm-hmm. even for my work number. But you still have things that kind of make their way through. And what this is going to do is going to recognize those numbers, kind of take them to this special place, mm-hmm. and then have that robot basically play with this. With the idea of taking a lot of time from the robot calling.
Because that's the most expensive part of robocalling, is these people who are actually making these calls.
Exactly. And eventually putting you on a do not call list by default, mm-hmm. as opposed to, if you're calling from out of the country, do not call this. They're not really going to impact you at all.
Right.
And so that home telephone phone call you get during dinner time, where it rings and rings and rings, and they want to wash your windows or they want to do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those can be alleviated pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny.
It's funny. It is humorous to listen to this. You can click on the TED Talk that we have in our show notes to see an example of what he's been putting together with this robot.
And the most enjoyable part, of course, are the recordings where they get to the live human who is interacting with this robot. And it's just circular conversations. Right. What can I say? Funny.
It's really annoying to those telemarketers. And that's a terrible job. You're playing
with me, aren't you? You're playing with me.
I can do this all day, one of the guys says. That's very
I made $180,000 last year.
I can talk to you all day with this. This is an interesting idea. The idea of taking back the phone number. Your phone number, I don't answer my telephone ever.
And one of the real challenges, this is the equivalent of your where it takes spam out of your email,
mm-hmm.
and kind of moves that out of the way. This is kind of doing the same.
Yeah, because there's a lot of telemarketers out there and they have a lot of things they'd like to sell you. There's no doubt about that. Brings us to our Now the News. There's stuff happening in the world, but really the important thing, boys and girls, moms, don't forget, this Sunday is Father's Day.
Isn't this the most important holiday?
Everybody knows what Father's Day means. It means leave me alone for Sunday.
I thought that's right. It means beer.
It does mean beer. It does mean beer. I have fond recollection of taking my father-in-law out on Father's Day, and the restaurant says, oh, it's Father's Day. Here's a free beer. And my father-in-law didn't drink beer, so he said, here's a free beer. And I said, thank you.
All right. So one of the interesting, I did a little bit of research on the history mm-hmm. of Father's Day. And Father's Day's history is very similar to Mother's Day's history. The modern one that we celebrate today, actually, it's that church in West Virginia, the Methodist Episcopalian Church. They were the ones who were part of the modern Father's Day. There was a movement here in Chicago, interestingly enough, to set up a Father's Day. But the one where we ultimately that stuck for us is the one they set up. Now, if we go back to the old country, St. Joseph's Day, I didn't even know this. It was a Catholic holiday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it makes a lot of sense that would be the Father's Day.
Yeah.
Catholics are so good at like taking any local holiday and then say, okay, and it's
Halloween. From now on.
That's right. Now it's All Souls Day and All Saints Day.
Yeah.
So they've done it for all over the world. It's interesting that St. Joseph's Day hasn't just become the default Father's Day.
Right.
Back in March. Yeah. But it doesn't really matter. They can celebrate twice.
It's much better in June. There's better beer available.
Well, for us in the States, that means we can have barbecues and grill some hamburgers and have some fun.
And go swim in the pool and leave me alone for a couple hours. That's
And now Father's that your son's Day. Old enough, he can just drive you.
That's right. His middle name is Uber. One of the things that we love celebrations, we love life, and we love how things go, but unfortunately one of the things that we have to always think of is there's an end to things. And this week, unfortunately, we lost Adam West, our Batman.
Oh, we love Adam West.
Oh, Adam West was the best.
In fact, the joke I always say is I went to the William Shatner School of Acting, and my favorite professor was Adam West.
There you go.
And my wife, when she gets angry with me, says to stop pausing like Adam West.
Adam West was phenomenal. He did such a great job bringing Batman to us in the 60s, he did so many other things after that.
Well, one of the beauties of modern world is Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a follower of Adam West. Adam West, in his elder years, was very kind to share part of his life. And one of the things he liked doing was cooking for his family. And he would have a joyous post of like,
that's
oh,
awesome.
My grandkids and family are coming over and I'm making, you know, whatever he's making. And he says something, you know, make sure you take care of the people you love. So he was he just was a joyous person. We were talking a little bit as we were preparing for who could be the modern person that may be that, and I suggested Harrison Ford.
I don't think so. I don't think he has the charisma of Adam West.
But, you know, then we kind of agreed that Mark Hamill could be that
Mark
person.
I think Mark Hamill is that guy right now in a lot of ways. I follow Mark Hamill and all the things that he chooses to share with us on social media, and he is that kind person. He's so happy to see all of his fans, and he's a fan himself of so many things, including Svengoolie, and I have so much in common with him. I feel like I have a real connection with him, like Adam West.
But if there is a television person that you liked growing up or something, many times they'll have public Twitter feeds or Facebook pages, and while certainly you're not interested in
minutia.
Well, what I'm not interested is invading their lives. Mm-hmm. What they're willing to share, like Julie Newmar was Catwoman in Batman, and she shares her love of her flowers. So in her backyard, there are trees and there are flowers everywhere, and that's her hobby, and that's what she enjoys doing, and she will share that along with her politics. A tremendous amount.
What an interesting social media lifestyle we have, with the ability to see into these people's homes, whatever they allow us to see.
Kevin Meaney passed away a few years ago, and Kevin Meaney was always sharing. He was a comedian that traveled a lot, but he was also a dad that showed up at his daughter's recital or performance, and he shared enough of it to make you realize that they are human, and they're very much like you and me, and they have all the challenges you and me. Because I think Kevin Meaney had an Airbnb once and had a bad experience with someone staying there, and he said, "Well, who would do this?" Well, it was his Airbnb, and he was out cleaning it up because somebody had treated it poorly. Anyway, you get insights into some people's lives, and they're wonderful. And once again, you're not interested in invading their lives,
right?
But what they're willing to share, it's always kind of with a wink and fun.
That's great. We are going to miss Adam West.
He is
a part of our growing up, and we don't lose any of that, which is nice. We have access to all of that material, all of those Batman episodes, all of those Family Guy episodes where he played Mayor Adam West on Family Guy. He's still there, which is awesome. Thank you, Adam, for all that you've done for us. You've got all sorts of options out there, and one of them is to get rid of cable TV. I haven't had cable TV for a very long time. And, you know, we keep hearing numbers about how many more people are dropping cable TV to subscribe to their streaming services, all those streaming services that are available.
And according to this, it looks like that we finally have hit the tipping point where the number of people who are using streaming services have finally outweighed the number of people using cable services.
We're in a transition.
And so we are in a true transition. And don't worry about these cable companies. They're part of this too.
They're working on it.
They're not going to lose.
Right.
So this what it's allowed us to do, for many people, it's allowed us to reduce costs for something that had just continuously risen in price. And so we're getting a little competition.
And we've gotten to the point where we have enough choice out there. We've gotten to the point where if I want to subscribe to the BritBox because I like British TV, I can give them my $9.99.
Absolutely. But between Sony's version of Vue, between Slingbox, which is Dish version, between DirecTV Now, YouTube.
DirecTV Now has been having some struggles, though.
They are
struggling, unfortunately.
Well, for DirecTV Now, that's the same price as me having my
actual DirecTV.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think there's some technology coming in that's going to make that a little more desirable. Mm-hmm. And anyway, my point is that all of these services are competing with each other. Hulu. And because of that,
we all win.
We are going to win.
We all win. If you are wondering about your cable TV existence and whether or not you should move, you absolutely should check out some of these offerings and see if it's out there and see what you really watch. Mm-hmm. If it's sports that you really watch, there's a way to get the sports streaming now. Mm-hmm. You should really look into it.
Yeah, I have a vision on how it's going to ultimately turn out. It seems like you're going to have the one television that may be hooked up to everything, and then you'll have maybe on your phone or your tablet things that you'll get, you know, something that you want. And what I mean by that is, you know, for your big screen television in your living room, maybe you want to have access to sports, but for traveling around, maybe you don't want to. I mean,
traveling around this week as we did, we got into hotel rooms, and every hotel room had a TV in each in the room. We really didn't turn on those TVs this week. We just stuck with our mobile devices because I was able to watch, you know, Doctor Who and Twin Peaks and Mystery Science Theater. The kids were able to watch YouTube or whatever they're into. Mm-hmm. And we really didn't use that main TV in any of those hotel rooms.
Well, things are changing.
Yeah, definitely.
Give me some good news, Steve.
So, batteries. Batteries are the thing that run everything right now.
And in fact, the technology, as it improves itself, and my hope is that it improves itself very quickly, it's going to change your lives. Imagine charging your phone up once a month, mm-hmm. or once a year. Or
being able to charge it almost instantly so that you have a charge when you need it right now, and then you don't worry about recharging it again until you need to recharge it, and then it's instantly recharged.
Oh, you mean down at Purdue University? They've developed this type of
service? They are working on a service where you can charge your car battery, that huge battery for your electric vehicle, almost instantly.
And just kind of thinking about it in my mind's eye as we're driving down the highway, and you drive underneath where it takes your toll.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bloop. Imagine driving underneath something and it fills your car up.
And you have another 300 miles before you have to worry about the charge ever again. And if they had one of those every 100 miles, you never would have to think about charging your vehicle.
See, the future's coming.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
I'm ready. I've, you know, with my trip to NASA, talking with my 11-year-old about the future, he's an engineering kind of mind, and I've been telling him about all of this science that he, as the next generation, needs to be working on, and he needs to be thinking about battery technology.
And we're getting some test markets. I was reading earlier this week, it looks like Oslo, Norway, maybe 30% of the automobiles in Oslo are electric.
Hmm.
So, you know, we're starting to get that test market kind of up and running. And that's great because it will show the weaknesses and the strengths of those areas and whether you can, here in your home, kind of move over to maybe a new technology. You never know.
I'm ready. I am ready for new technology all the time. That's why I watch all those presentations of all the new technologies. Tim Cook gives a good presentation. He gave the commencement address at MIT this year.
In fact, we have a lot. Right now, most universities are having their commencement. What's wonderful is that they're recording those, and they're going to put them up on YouTube, and you can watch them too.
Yeah.
So all these great people. So Southern Cal had Will Ferrell, who had a very funny commencement address. MIT had Tim Cook. And Tim Cook is a very different leader at Apple than Steve Jobs was.
Yes, he is.
Steve Jobs is a visionary, kind of a maybe once-in-a-lifetime type of guy that really can see things before you can see them.
I agree with you. Steve Jobs had the ability to, I think he lived 5 years in the future. I think he was a time traveler.
Well, and it really takes special people to do that. Now, Tim Cook has his own set of skills. Mm-hmm. Apple is a much different type of company, but that doesn't mean they're not as thoughtful or maybe more thoughtful.
Right.
You know, Jobs was like, I'm going to plow on regardless of what you think. Tim Cook's more along the lines of, oh, we can...
What is the best thing for our company? What is the best thing for maybe even humanity?
Well, in fact, that was his, I think the point of his commencement address is he said, listen, we've got all this technology around you, but you have to remember you're human. And, you know, the mix of science and humanity is going to deliver us where we want to go. And don't forget that. And, you know, there's warnings involved in there. Things can be used for good. Things can be used for bad. He talks about his meeting with the Pope And that he said that the Pope was very technology literate, which was very interesting. But anyway, it's a wonderful presentation. I highly recommend it.
It's great that we have access to all this stuff. Access is key to knowledge. If the knowledge is out there and you can get it, then you're going to be a better person.
Knowledge is good.
Knowledge knowledge is power, maybe, is a better way to say that.
All right, Steve, we want to remind our listeners what?
Absolutely. This week, you need to join us at your local theater or send us an email and join us at our local theater. We could have a party. Let's go have a sandwich. And then we should watch Riff Trax Summer Shorts Beach Party. That is this Thursday, June 15th at a theater near you. It is going to replay on the 20th.
That's through Fathom Events.
This is Fathom Events. We love Fathom Events. Man, the access that we have to this stuff because of Fathom Events and those satellites and beaming this picture across our country is amazing.
Sometimes you get Broadway stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get the evening opera at the Met.
Yeah.
You get special presentations.
Stuff that you won't see anywhere else. The live Woody Harrelson movie that we saw. A live movie. I have not seen any distribution of that since. That was a one-time event. This is a one-time event that they will record and you can buy it later. But there's something about the live event. Join us on Thursday and see some fun. See some funny people. That's what summer's all about. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
Next week after Father's Day, we can come back and we can talk about all of the fun that we had on Father's Day and going to the family events and seeing our friends at Riff Trax. There's so much stuff. I'm so excited. I'm going to go take a nap. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, News.TooMuchScrolling.com, and find all the information that you need. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future.